Welcome back to the Oscar Project Podcast, the show where I discuss Oscar-nominated films year by year. I'm your host, Jonathan Eicherberg, and today I'm covering the 1928 film, The Racket. First off, I want to thank you, my listeners, for helping me land on a list of the top Oscar-related podcasts on Feedspot.com. There are a bunch of shows out there, so I thank you for taking the time to listen to mine, and please continue to share it with your friends. I also want to take a second and remind you that today's episode is actually the standard format for the podcast. If you've been listening all summer, you know I've been publishing bi-weekly interview episodes with authors who write about movies and various aspects of the film industry. I hope you've been enjoying those because they will be continuing through the fall while I get back into these episodes focused on a single film and try to finish out the first Oscars before the holidays here in 2023. Now back to your regularly scheduled podcast. After last episode's slog through The Patent Leather Kid, this film is mercifully shorter at just under an hour and a half. So let's get started. The Racket debuted on June 30th, 1928, though some sources list the release date as November 1st of that year for some reason. It was directed by Louis Milestone from a story by Bartlett Cormack, Tom Miranda, and Harry Bain, and stars Thomas Meighan as Police Captain James McQuigg, Louis Wolheim as Nick Scarcey, Marie Prevost as Helen Hayes, G. Pat Collins as Patrolman Johnson, and George E. Stone as Joe Scarcey. With a listed running time of just 84 minutes, The Racket was produced by Howard Hughes with distribution by Paramount Pictures. The Racket was among three films nominated for Outstanding Picture at the first Academy Awards, alongside Seventh Heaven and Wings, both of which I'll cover toward the end of this season. The film was believed lost for some time, and I wasn't able to find any official DVD releases, but it has been shown on TCM over the years and is available on YouTube as of this recording. The 1951 remake is more readily available on digital media. The story of The Racket is fairly straightforward. It focuses on the goings-on in a remote Chicago police station during the Prohibition era when Joe Scarcey is brought in following a car accident. Patrolman Johnson, the police officer who arrested Joe and his girl Helen Hayes, is noted to be at risk by the police Captain McQuigg, since Scarcey is the younger brother of notorious gang leader Nick Scarcey. A trio of reporters loiter around the station trying to get the scoop on a story as Joe is released. Later, Nick arrives at the station and is told who Johnson is, killing the officer by shooting him in the back. Nick believes he will get away with this murder, as he has many before, because of his close connections to a politician known only as the Old Man. However, he faces off against McQuigg, who works with the district attorney to trick Nick into confessing. Nick then tries to shoot McQuigg, but finds his gun empty, leading him to an escape attempt out the station window. In the final moments, Nick is killed, and McQuigg laments that by the time he's done with his paperwork, it'll be time to head to church on Sunday morning. The film is based on the 1927 play of the same name, also by Bartlett Cormack, which debuted in New York on November 1927. It received good reviews, which likely prompted the quick turnaround to put the story on film just 7 months later. I'm always a bit surprised at how quickly studios were able to turn around movies in this era, since it often takes years to produce big hits today. At the time, it was reported that if the play was brought from New York to Chicago, it would be banned by the state's attorney's office, mainly because it reflected poorly on that very office. However, the producer immediately responded to these reports by declaring that he would stage the play in Chicago and objected to the state attorney's ban as an arbitrary, un-American, and confiscatory action. I was able to find a copy of the play at a local university library, and unlike the film, the entire play is set in the rural police station. We see the players coming in and out of the station, with the first two acts taking place in the main lobby, and the final act shifting to McQuigg's office just off the lobby. Cormack himself was a former Chicago newspaper reporter, which may explain the play's secondary focus on the reporters hanging about the station trying to get a scoop. The Racket was his first screenplay, and the play was just his second to be produced on stage. The film itself was long thought to be lost, however a print was found in the personal collection of producer Howard Hughes upon his death. The only known print today resides at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and the film was preserved and digitized by the Academy in 2016. In the film, the character of Nick Scarcey was reportedly modeled after Al Capone, while the Old Man was modeled on Chicago Mayor William Hale Thompson, also known as Big Bill. At the time, the film was generally well received, with the New York Times reviewer noting on July 9, 1928 that The Racket was, quote, one of the most entertaining pictures in quite some time, while also lamenting that it unfortunately comes at the end of a season somewhat overrun by melodramas and underworld mysteries. Photoplay called it a crook classic, and named it one of the best pictures of the month in August of that year. Nearly every review of the time praised both Thomas Meighan's portrayal of Captain McQuigg and Louis Wolheim as the villain Nick Scarcey, and I have to agree, they're both very strong performances. Lastly, Harrison's reports noted that there were lines three deep and, quote, reaching around the block for people waiting to get in to see the racket in New York. About a month after the film debuted, the New York Times published an article indicating that if the unsavory element in society frequented the movies, they would learn that gangsters, quote, are really gentlemen at heart, and if humanity followed film plots, there would be no crime wave. The writer goes on to suggest that persons responsible for moving pictures should, quote, go out and take a look at the holdup man, noting that the racket gets closest to the mark when portraying this type of character on screen. Now, I'm no expert on 1920s racketeering and gangsters, but I have to believe that even this film was still a bit of a stretch in terms of how these individuals acted. However, based on Ken Brownlow's 1990 book, Behind the Mask of Innocence, he writes that McQuigg actor Thomas Meighan, quote, received death threat phone calls, as did the manager of the Metropolitan Theater, where the picture had its Los Angeles premiere. So it would appear they got close enough to the truth to strike a nerve with the real players. Brownlow also notes that the racket was, quote, by all accounts the most important gangster picture of the silent era, arguing that it was important because at long last a film dealt head-on with the link between gangsters, police, and politicians. As I noted at the top, the racket was recognized at the Oscars with one nomination, for Outstanding Picture, what we would today call Best Picture. The award ultimately went to Wings, but the film has earned its place in history as one of the first Oscar nominees. Now, as much as the contemporary reviewers loved this film, I was a bit lukewarm on it. It wasn't bad, but I actually enjoyed the play better, and I feel like it would be great to see a performance of it on stage. The first half hour of the film is not part of the play, and in my opinion, gives a bit too much backstory on the relationship between Nick and McQuigg. My other main quibble is about Nick and Joe Scarcey. Louis Wolheim, who plays Nick, is a large boulder of a man, and fully fits the gangster mold. Georgie Stone, on the other hand, who plays Joe, is a very slight actor, and this huge difference in size and stature actually makes Nick appear more as Joe's father than a protective older brother. The way they act together in the added introductory scenes supports this dynamic as well. Those complaints aside, once the story hits the rural police station like in the play, it's in full gear. Most of the scenes take place in the main lobby, as in the play, and my favorite characters of the film have to be Pratt and Miller, two of the reporters who reminded me a bit of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern of Hamlet fame. It's fun to see how news like this was handled 100 years ago, when we didn't have a 24-hour news cycle and couldn't get a notification in our pocket about the latest happenings of the world. My one last note, and something I found hilarious, was an interaction between Helen and the third reporter, Ames. Helen is locked up in a holding cell in the police station, and Ames brings her several items wrapped in paper, including powder, a comb, and what appears to be a nightshirt. Again, it's just incredible to see how things have changed over 100 years, as something like this would never be allowed today. As always, I will have a list of resources in the show notes to find out more about the film, so please be sure to check those out if you're interested in learning more about The Racket. And don't forget to visit the website at theoscarproject.co or find me on Facebook at facebook.com/theoscarproject. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you get all the new episodes in your feed as soon as they are released. The Oscar Project podcast is written and produced by me, Jonathan Eicherberg, with editing assistance from Joshua Eicherberg. Please come back for the next episode where I discuss the 1928 film, The Crowd. Until then, I hope to see you at the movies.